Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Armstrong, and I am here today to recap episode 6 of The Circle US on Netflix. With me today is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I'm good. How have you freaking been, Taryn?
I've been good. Very busy trying to keep up with Big Brother and The Circle and in all these podcasts. But we're here. We're talking about it. It's episode 6. We're 6 episodes in. We got 2 more after this for the week. And it's been an interesting ride here with The Circle.
It has been, and it's been a lot of fun. I feel like I've mostly been watching wrestling with the Wrestling Wrap Up with Mari, and this is a nice change of pace. It's a little bit different than pro wrestling. We get a lot of the drama, though, which has been pretty exciting.
Yeah, very true. Does wrestling ever have the inner circle?
No, the only place I could think of that had the inner circle truly was MTV's Challenge back like 20 years ago. It was a thing. They thought the inner circle was ugly. The game was ugly. It was a mess. But yeah, there are lots of little stables or groups within wrestling. I'm sure there have been a few named the inner circle. So nothing quite like this, though.
Yes. Well, we started episode 6 here. After the cliffhanger of who will Courtney choose to be one of the next 2 influencers in the next blocking, and we come back in to not resolve that cliffhanger because he's just going to talk through pros and cons of each person. He starts with Kat, nice neutral option, but too much of a risk.
Exactly. Yeah, good call. And by the way, I just want to say I appreciate Courtney's decision-making technique, which involves a lot of twerking. Like, I could relate to that. So, you know, he was twerking it out a little bit over in the inner circle room, Taryn. Don't you twerk when you're making your most
sitting?
Difficult
can
decisions?
You twerk when you sit?
Taryn, you can twerk anytime when you sit, when you're standing, when you're, you know, laying down. It's a mindset more than anything else.
See, Matt, you have no way of knowing this, but I unfortunately just had to admit to Lita not too long ago, for anyone who's listening to these in succession, that prior to the previous episode, I did not know that cake referred to the buns.
Yeah, it makes sense, though, right?
I think I'm just lacking a lot of knowledge in this area.
It's coming together little by little. I feel like part of us being here is recapping the episode, but the other part is catching you up on some of the hip lingo, the 411, if you will.
The 411. Yeah. I mean, last season I learned all about eggplants, and this season I'm learning about the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, it was a little bit too hot to handle on this week's episode, but we'll get to that.
Yes, all right. Eggplants. Well,
you didn't know about eggplants?
I don't think I did. I don't remember now. I learned about them at some point. There was definitely, it might not have been eggplants, or no, it was Joey that didn't know about, somebody didn't know about eggplants on that season. But I definitely learned about some emojis last season. Look, I it's hard to know what you didn't know.
Yeah.
And remember what you didn't remember.
If you're staying away from the unsolicited eggplants, you're in a good place. So I'm good for you.
So Courtney says Mitchell couldn't even handle a group chat, so he's not getting the influencer. He says Emily doesn't need to be an influencer again. She cannot be trusted at all.
Yeah, I was going to say that was pretty emphatic. You know, the feelings toward Emily there made a lot of sense. So, yeah, she can't be trusted. It can't be trusted.
The thing that confuses me is that we don't really get much here on Chloe in this this thing. He talks about he'd never give Teralisha influencer. Right. And but he doesn't really talk about Chloe. He's later going to talk about Chloe as though she's a great friend of his.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that either way. I feel like Chloe, though, and I know that you've talked about this a little bit on some of the other recaps, Chloe is interconnected with everyone. I feel like Chloe, she's in the best possible position in this game, so which is surprising as someone who watched Too Hot to Handle. And, you know, it was a fun game, but there wasn't really strategy to it other than people keeping it in their pants. But, you know, I like this. I like what we're seeing here with Chloe developing as a side. By the way, I love Courtney. Could I just put that out there? You know, as a Black queer man personally, it's just so cool to see him and take him in and see him thriving in this episode.
He is very fun. I just still need to figure out what the starfish and the jump wiggle workouts are. I just need to know. And until I know, this is just always going to be a question mark in my head. Is he actually aquatic?
Might be. There were a lot of, we did see a lot of fish on this episode in pancake form, which yes. Surprising that we didn't get that from Courtney, did we?
Was it a panda or a penguin?
It was supposed to be a panda. That's what he claimed it was.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, yeah.
He has flaws. He's human.
It's true.
Yes.
He really hates Emily, though. Yeah. River says River loves him some Courtney, and he has a good head on his shoulders, but he's worried that River is close to Emily. He says he's built a good camaraderie with Trevor, thinks that he's a good guy. So it seems like they're narrowing it down. It's either going to be River or Trevor that Courtney chooses as the influencer, but they're not going to tell us who yet.
Yeah. And I mean, in my mind, at least there was one decision that was more obvious than the other. That would be the Trevor decision, spoiler alert. Or, you know, this decision to choose River, which I think is a little bit more up in the air. Maybe it's not clear who would have chosen River. And I'm a fan. I was a fan. We'll get to all of that. I don't want to give away all of my takes this early on, but I like the dilemma and the way that Courtney was thinking through and twerking through everything.
Can you show me an example of how you? Yeah,
it was like he had his I think he had his hands up and he was just kind of like,
I fully get it now. I couldn't picture it, and now that is completely what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and twerking, it's not always the thing that you see or that you keep up with. Sometimes it's the thing that happens inside.
Yes.
And I would imagine that he was always doing that.
Yeah. In my heart, I've been twerking this whole podcast.
Oh, I was going to say, is Courtney twerking in your heart? I don't even know what that means, but yeah. Come on, twerk it out, yeah. Taryn.
If you're listening to this on audio and you don't know what we're talking about, check out the video.
Yeah,
man, well, did a great example.
Right. Did a great demo. That's it.
All right. So we're going to cut to some conversations here. Emily is actually going to reach out to Courtney. Courtney's like, oh, Emily. And his response to Emily is like, oh, Emily, I'm so happy to be talking to you right now.
Yeah, and it somehow worked, I guess, kind of. It got the point across.
Big, if you watched the UK season, the big Manrika vibes in this moment from Courtney in terms of, like, just, like, very, like, I hate this person. Oh, I'm so pleased to be speaking with you.
I was thinking about this approach, though. Like, if you just... like say really great things to people, at least in this season, even if the other person doesn't believe it or isn't 100% sure if that's right. Like it's not a bad move. I mean, maybe, you know, I think Emily has some work to do in terms of how to balance the positivity with everything else. But I think Courtney did a good job there.
Yeah, Emily does not seem to suspect that Courtney may have it out for him. And honestly, like, we'll talk about it when it comes to the blocking, but Emily proposes in good faith here, seemingly, an alliance between himself, Courtney, Chloe, and River. And Courtney feels good with both Chloe and River. This is really a no-brainer to just be like, sure. I mean, if Emily is one of my biggest adversaries, and she's coming to me with an alliance with two of my closest people, then that's great for me. So why not? He says he's keeping the snake close to his breast so he can chop his head off, or her head off.
I was gonna say not great to keep a machete anywhere near your chest. Not great.
How do you angle that? Like,
I think you just need to stab downward. If you know, because
that's tricky as well. Maybe you take it. You just kind of like.
It's just like, you know, you chip its head off a little bit. I don't know. I don't own a machete or a snake, so
yeah.
I can't tell you. But I did. I will say, Taryn, have you noticed the art that people apparently, the arts and crafts that people have apparently been doing?
I've noticed some of them. Is there one in particular that has stood out to you?
Well, so there were a couple, but right before this conversation between Courtney and Emily, I noticed River's art, which incredible artist, by the way, but I don't know the backstory. I do know, though, that there was a lot of like ordering the different pictures. So I think River had Lee, in other words, had portraits of all of the different, you know, people in the circle, but he had this little cluster of, I think, four or five of Emily, Chloe, Courtney, and Lance. And so when I saw that conversation between Courtney and Emily, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is exactly what this alliance will work out perfectly for Emily and Courtney, because we're already seeing Rivers bought in. So I was taking note of some of the portraits. There were some others that stood out later on, I'll say.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mitchell is going to go ahead and initiate a conversation with Chloe, and she is in the bath, and she is very excited about this.
Yeah, I have to say I felt a little uncomfortable with this, mostly just because of all the bubbles. I just wanted Chloe to keep her hands where we could see them, and I just didn't need to call her in the bathtub.
You were hoping that she is not just as spicy as the red chili pepper that she looks like in her photo.
I don't know what the rating for this show is, but this isn't that kind of show. This is on Netflix, Taryn.
I mean, we saw some cake last episode.
We did see some cake. And again, speaking of the art, the other thing I noted was that for whatever reason, Chloe has a picture she drew on her wall that specifically points out Mitchell's cakes, I think.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
We'll go with the plural here. But she was into that. That's her thing. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've watched Bob's Burgers, but like Tina. Mm. Tina's really big on the cakes. Using cakes in a sentence.
Man, there. Tina would be obsessed. Not unlike Chloe, actually. Yeah.
No. So. Yeah, you learn something new every day.
I love him. I can't believe he said that I look like a red chili pepper.
Yeah, this was like a very
he's very, very pleased with himself.
He was, and like, good on him. But I feel like in some ways he's kind of catfishing, because he's, you know, he is this virgin who is, you know, doing his thing. That he is really kicking it on with the compliments to Chloe, and I don't know if she'd be too happy finding out that he's a virgin.
Yeah, well, she will be happy to see his hands. He is going to talk about how huge they are. You know what that means?
Big gloves.
Big feet. He's got the bants.
See, I was going to say, I don't know if that's how it works, but
we'll it's also ahead. Like the most overused and terrible line ever. I mean, I'm sure there are worse ones, but like, oh, no. Really?
It worked, though. That's the thing. Like, we have to be really results oriented here. I don't know. You know what? When you're alone in a room by yourself, like, I feel like he could have said anything. Like, I have big eyes. And she's like, oh my God, Mitchell.
What big eyes you have.
Yeah.
All the more for seeing you, my Chloe.
Oh my gosh. No, please. I'm glad that actually I do think it was kind of cruel that the circle felt the need to cut in and interrupt it, but maybe they were saying like, look, this isn't TV mature. This is Netflix quality. So I thought that was interesting timing there.
1000%. They got on to Trevor and they were like, so what do you think about giving Chloe a call right now? Like, sure. And then so Trevor calls in the middle of the private chat between Mitchell and Chloe, and Chloe has to make a decision. Who is she going to pick up the call from, Trevor, or is she going to keep talking to Mitchell? And she decides, I need to keep Trevor in love with me. So she's going to answer the call from Trevor. She says, hey, this is freezing in here. I've got to go. And Mitchell's like, I'll just close it out with, oh, she left.
Yeah. I know she wasn't actually in a cold bathtub.
She said that.
No. I really hope not. Because then she didn't have to be in there for too long. But also, she didn't mention to Trevor that she was in the bathtub. Like, what?
Yeah, well, Trevor is more respectful with his flirting. He doesn't think with his eggplant.
No, but there was no like, hey, I'm having a good day. I'm in the tub right now. Like, call me back later or something like that. But it's an interesting place to take your circle chats.
Yeah, I liked how this opens. So Trevor's opens this conversation with, hey, Chloe, how are you feeling? She's like, I can't answer that. I can't tell him I fancy Mitchell. What does that have to do with how you're feeling right now? Just be like, I'm good.
She was, I think she was really feeling it with Mitchell.
She was feeling a lot of hands.
Yeah.
Mitchell's big hands.
And you know what? And the thing that I will say just about Mitchell compared with Trevor as this develops is that with Mitchell or with Trevor, what we really got like this heart focused approach, the romance, With Mitchell, he was definitely going with a little bit more of an approach of thinking with his head. And I, you know,
very different approaches.
Very different. Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, like you'd expect the Mitchell approach to be the more catfish approach.
You would think. But you know what? I don't think Chloe cares either way.
Chloe says she can't decide which she likes more. She just wants to jump on both of them.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I mean, I don't know if that. I don't think that's happening.
I don't know if they'd be down, but that certainly would be. I think her ideal scenario.
Hey, but look, that didn't happen on Too Hot to Handle. I won't get into the details again. I don't know what this podcast is rated.
Okay. Good call. We're gonna play a game. It's called Batter Up, and I feel like. So far for me, the thing that this season has lacked the most is the games have really not been great. The Truth or Dare was like, meh. Like it turned into a fight, sure, but it was like the put on a bunch of shirts thing was dumb. They just have to make some pancakes.
You weren't a fan of the pancakes?
I mean, they were pancakes. Some of them were really terrible and that was funny. But like there wasn't a pancake of a snake saying hashtag no. Full of poo. It really felt lacking to me.
Yeah. And I think the thing that threw me off the most was that the circle showed what the pancake art was supposed to look like, which really it's just drawing an animal on a pancake, basically. And that is not what anyone did. I liked what they did better than the examples, but it didn't fit the assignment.
Yeah. The biggest thing is Courtney was so proud of his panda. Obviously, they're going to know this is a panda. They're like, what is that? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was a bee at first with the eyes, and someone said a fly. It kind of looked like a funky T-Rex or some. I don't know what was going on with it, but I don't know if anyone else knew what was going on with it either.
Yeah. Kat and Trevor are going to win the pancakes.
Yeah, that's right. Those dad pancake making skills, right?
Great game, guys. Yeah. So glad we did this.
So great. Yeah, this is fun. Lots of strategy to it. I was actually thinking, I went into this one like, oh, what's the strategy going to be? Like, who's going to really tank it on the pancakes? And I just think they were sadly all trying the best.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was waiting for Trevor to be like,
right,
Emily, a woman would never have made that pancake.
Yeah, women, and they all should have perfect. Exactly. I don't know what was happening. But yeah, they tried it. They tried. And then it was pretty inconsequential. I don't think there were any big takeaways like, oh, this person's definitely a catfish based on their inability to make pancakes. I will say that of the pancakes made, that I think Mitchell made the pancake that was most to type, where it's just a complete mess.
Everything you'd expect.
A slaughter of ingredients just in the pan, or it was overflowing. I don't know. I guess everything you'd expect, maybe more or less, depending how you look at it.
There you go. We're finally going to learn that they're going to reveal, and this actually very much surprised me, reveal the Joker to the other players. I thought that this was going to remain a secret. In fact, I believe I wrote down from the previous episode that in the initial chat where the Joker talked to Mitchell and Kat, it said that they are not allowed to reveal who the Joker or that anything that they learn from the Joker chat. I thought is that until the Joker leaves the circle. I did not go back to like check that wording, but that's what I thought it said.
Yeah, the way that I read that was that the Joker, so the Joker figure is when that
character of the Joker is
the character of the Joker. Yeah,
that makes more sense.
Yeah, so that's what was going on there, but still, I didn't really understand the delay on them talking about the Joker.
Yeah, it's a little weird, especially like are they now allowed to say that they weren't allowed to say, because it makes them look really sketchy that they never said anything about it until now.
I mean, well, we'll see if it turns into anything. So far, it doesn't. I've been fascinated with, like, one, Mitchell didn't bring up the Joker in talking with Chloe, who was mentioned by the Joker, and then, you know, thought about it when talking with Tara Leisha, I think, or talking with Emily. Mm-hmm. It's all like mixed in my head right now, but I think the key thing is like it didn't really turn into a ton of drama. It did work out, but it didn't really turn into a ton of drama.
Yeah. So we're going to get to the player, or sorry, the Joker is revealed, and we are going to find out, as is everyone else, that the Joker has chosen River as one of the two influencers in this round. And River is like, ah!
Yeah.
River thinks it was Lance. River thinks Lance did this.
Yeah, look, I think of all people, though, too, River was very much just happy to be there, happy to be the influencer, not thinking strategically about it. I don't know why Lance would have been the one to do it, but I guess that's like the unintentional side effects of this. It doesn't matter, though, that River thought it was Lance, I guess, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I think this is probably strategically one of the better ways to become an influencer, because you get all the power and safety of being an influencer with none of the implied threat that, like, hey, River is so popular that River was one of the top two people. It's like, no, somebody just chose River to be an influencer. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a huge threat to win. I think this is a very valuable spot for River to be.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like what the if there is going to be any longer term impact of River being put in this spot. If, you know, if someone's going to look at it and ask like, oh, who like who's watching out for River? River has friends, even if they don't know who it is exactly. So I agree with you that it is a better way to end up as influencer. But I still wonder how the rest of the people in the circle will perceive it.
Yeah, you don't want like. Depending on what the Joker did or said, you may now be associated with the Joker, and that could be bad. But at the same time, if they're assuming that the Joker can't make themselves the influencer, then it also clears River from suspicion of being the Joker. And that's actually when I was talking to Lita in the previous recap, she said that she was under the assumption that that Courtney would be able to choose himself as an influencer, but that never came up as an option. So I'm assuming that it wasn't. You know, under that assumption, again, I think that River is now cleared from being an influencer and can, if anything comes up about what the Joker said, can fully disavow and be like, oh, geez, that's terrible. And it could just all be positive here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe what we'll see next episode is that people will go to River knowing that River has some friends, even if River wasn't the most popular, at least as far as we know, not the most popular this week. There might maybe we'll see some people. No, like that River guy, maybe I need to work my way in with him. So I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. All right, so we get to the player ratings. Mitchell and Kat can rate, but cannot be rated. River is already out of contention, being an influencer, and that means that there are only 5 placements to give out, and we're going to run through some of the choices here. We first hear from Mitchell, who is going to put Emily in first place. He says that he trusts her and Kat the most, so I'm assuming Kat was second.
Yeah, I assume. I think so.
Yes, but, the leg day flirting really worked out.
Hey, it's you got to do those squats. You never know how far they'll get you.
Got to get those cakes.
Yeah, I don't. We'll work on it, Taryn.
We hear from River. River puts Lance at number one. He says he thinks that Lance was the Joker. Puts Courtney in the number two spot, says he has a huge bond with Courtney. So I'm assuming that for River, that perhaps Emily is number three. And then Teralisha and Trevor, maybe Teralisha at 4, Trevor at 5. That would be my guess as to what his ratings were here.
Yeah, that's roughly what I was thinking through too, or what I had to of what I would expect, but no, you know, no surprises there. We kind of saw the clicks forming. So I think those guesses for how they ranked are probably pretty accurate.
Yes. This was very interesting to me and clearly a big reason for the ultimate outcome of this particular rating. Kat is going to put Courtney at number one. She says she has made a connection with him. I don't know when this happened.
We did not see it.
Yeah,
we did see Kat and Teralisha for a second, but we didn't see Kat and Courtney in any way. But I'll take Kat's word for it. I'm sure Courtney made a good first impression. I don't know why we didn't see it.
This is something that I noticed, but forgot to mention in the previous recap, which is that when we were introduced to Mitchell and Kat, I felt like we got a very large package, no pun intended, from Mitchell. We got comparatively a smaller segment here for Kat. I feel like we haven't gotten a lot from her. Like even the one like that group conversation we had last time between her, Teralisha, and Trevor was more focused on Teralisha and Trevor than it was Kat. And I feel like we're just not getting a lot from her. And it's unfortunate because I really like her, but I'm worried that she may not be long for this game.
Yeah, and she came in like a ball of fire into the first episode, just bouncing off the walls to the point where I was wondering, like, what is the coffee situation in the holding pen or wherever people are? Because Chloe came in with a similar amount of energy, and we're still getting that energy from Kat, but not a lot otherwise. I did like the conversation that she had in this episode with Tara Leisha, because it was just basically Kat saying, hey, here's what I was told. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't want to be in the middle of it, basically. And that was positive. I don't feel like she's, you know, playing the game poorly, but maybe she is just a straightforward, like, I'm not lying to anyone. I'm not manipulating. I'll tell you the truth. And that's not always the most fun.
Yeah, it's because I feel like the other person we're seeing very little of is Lance, who I feel like probably is also not too long for this game, although the influencer chat seemed to indicate that maybe she will be. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I would assume different reasons why we're not seeing more of them. And plus, Kat's new. We could give it some time. We'll see.
I'm hopeful because I really like Kat. I love too. The energy she brings. I want to see more from her.
Speaking of, by the way, she did you I don't know if this is like one of those things that is within your wheelhouse of understanding or not, but what was the wig about? Did you have a sense for like why she had the second wig during the rankings?
I don't know. I mean, you know, some people just like wigs, right? And she maybe just likes to play around with them.
Yeah. Maybe
maybe she's like, I've got my ranking wig on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know what? I get that. And I kind of saw like at one point, maybe she was kind of peeking out from behind the hairs a little bit, you know, when it gets awkward, you could cover up your face even more. I don't know why I shouldn't use her normal hair to do that. But you know what? Maybe she thought that her wig was going to be snatched. I don't know. That's another thing, Taryn, snatching wigs.
I see. I've heard of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's who knows. But
you start moving down the body. That's when I start to lose you.
Yeah. I mean, with the podcasts and especially on video, exactly. It's pretty torso up.
I don't know human anatomy from this portion up. I'm only able to analyze humans in this format. So
yeah, just and that's that works. Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We're going to hear from Lance. Lance puts Tara Leisha in the first position. And this is not because she likes Tara Leisha, but because she expects that Tara Leisha will be rated very low. And thus, she wants to put Tara Leisha first to help boost her actual ratings. This is the first thing I've seen from Lance that I actually really like.
I know. And at first I was a little skeptical because Lance mentioned, you know, I put my friends lower? And I'm like, don't try the strategy stuff. Like, let's leave that to some of the other players. And that was interesting because it was really an inconsequential ranking, but I liked the thought behind it. I mean, we still got Terra Leisha at the bottom, but
It worked perfectly. She put Terra Leisha in the first position and Terra Leisha was still last. So she was able to completely burn her first spot on Terra Leisha with zero repercussions. Yeah. I don't know what any of her other ratings were. And we can't really intuit what they are either because they were, I imagine, entirely strategic, but very clever.
Well, this is kind of where I wonder also how River would have done in the actual ranking, because I know that, or in the actual rating, because I know, like, I would assume that Lance was really high on those ratings, or at least I know that there's some fondness there from River to Lance. So I don't know. I actually do wonder that without the twist, like, what would we have gotten? Where would River have ranked? That's, you know, maybe higher than we'd think.
Yeah. Now I will say the thing here is, again, without seeing the rest of her ratings, when we look at the results, Lance comes second to last. So she was not able to really propel herself very far. In fact, if all she was trying to do was not come last, putting Terra Leisha first was actually the worst thing she could have done, because that just gave Terra Leisha more of a chance to get past Lance. And if she is hoping to put her friends in as influencers, then wasting her number one spot is a waste. If she wants River or somebody else to be in there to protect her, then she should be giving her number one spot to River, because that is the optimal way to play. So without knowing her true intentions here, I can't say for sure that she's actually correctly using strategy, but I like that she is using some strategy.
She's trying, and points for effort, definitely.
All right. Terra Leisha is going to put Chloe in the number one spot, her circle bestie. And it's like, whoa, Chloe has everyone. Chloe's dominating this game.
And it doesn't even really seem like strategy. There are definitely a lot of strategic elements, and she'll think over how she's communicating to people. But I don't really understand how she just has all these tentacles to the different players. No one really has a problem with her in any way at this point. And again, it's surprising. I don't think anyone expected her to do so well, but she just shows up. She's not in the middle. She's not on the fence in any way like an Emily would be, but she's just kind of showing up. She speaks her mind a little bit. She has allies, and it works out really well somehow. Like, I'm really liking Chloe, actually, which I had a bias against her for being from Too Hot to Handle, but she's growing on me.
She's not too hot to handle at the end of the day.
No. Yeah. No, and isn't that the point? That's the message. That was probably the deeper point of the show, Taryn, just like as a spoiler in case you decide to watch that at any point.
Mm. Yeah. We've learned some valuable lessons here.
Yeah, humans, humankind, personality. Yeah, those things. Teachable moments.
Interestingly, Terra Leisha is going to put Trevor at number three. So it seems like that talk with Trevor in the previous episode was very big. I'm not sure. So she puts Chloe at number one, Trevor at number three. We're later going to see that she has had some suspicions about Emily. I'm not sure how she feels about River, but I assume she feels good about River. I would assume it's Chloe one, River two, right, Trevor three. And then given where Courtney ends up, River was not part of the rankings. Lance was part of the rankings. Okay. So maybe it was. Now I don't know. Maybe she did put Emily too? Between Lance, Emily, and Courtney, she has no real reason to trust any of them, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I don't. But it wouldn't make sense for her to put Emily second because she just had the conversation about how Emily how she felt that Emily was the Joker.
She has that conversation after. So, like, it's possible that she doesn't suspect Emily at all until that conversation, but it seemed like she was very, she was already suspicious. Like, she was very ready to be like, that snake, I knew it.
Emily has big sus vibes. So I don't look, I maybe we did see Emily in second there, but you
maybe,
know,
maybe it was Chloe, Emily, Trevor, Lance, Courtney, or it could have been Chloe, Lance, Trevor, Emily, Courtney. Or did Courtney's she not put Courtney last? Because Courtney ended up in first place overall, so it seems unlikely that she put him last. So maybe she put him second, as far as we know.
Well, also, they had that conversation, which was really kind of fake, and they felt like they weren't, you know, neither of them really truly trusts each other. But, you know, to a point I was making earlier, I think those conversations, even if they're fake, even if there's not trust there, that does count for something. So I'm also not totally sure why she would put Courtney at the bottom. I could see why Courtney would put Tara Leisha at the bottom based on the conversation with Savannah, who I terribly miss. But, you know, there are a few different options here, but you know, I think we're in the ballpark.
I feel like we've seen so little of Tara Leisha since the feud with Savannah. And it's one of the reasons why at the end of this episode, we're going to be left with a cliffhanger. I suspect that we may be out one Tara Leisha in the next episode.
Oh, you got to get rid of Emily to avenge Savannah.
I don't know. I just don't know.
I think the other reason why it'd be good to get rid of Emily is just because, you know, you're pinning this thing, this Joker thing on her, and it makes it a lot easier for Courtney just to get her out so she can't explain herself. Well, maybe she'll have the chance to go and Jack will have the chance to go and have a conversation with someone about what really happened, but I don't know. I think when you're going to pin something on someone, just get them out. Why not? So that you don't have to worry about that later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, I can see why Courtney would be gung-ho about it, but we're going to see from Emily. Emily puts Tara Leisha at number two. He says this is partly strategic because he expects Tara Leisha to be low in the ratings, but also because he feels like she has his back. Which may or may not be true this time. We still don't know. He puts Trevor in last place, says he does not trust Trevor as an influencer. Trevor seems to be the person he's most worried about, but he clearly does not see that Courtney is the person he should be most worried about.
Yeah, this isn't looking great for Emily. And it's I feel like we've kind of been seeing like these hints of like, oh, like people just kind of tilting their head to the side and like, I don't know what's going on over there with her. And I think this is I don't feel good about her chances here.
Mm. Well, Trevor is going to put Lance in fourth place. No real explanation there. Courtney puts Emily last, says hashtag justice for Savannah. It's interesting to me that Courtney blames Emily more than Tara Leisha, it seems, for the Savannah blocking. Now we know that Emily didn't even want to do it. It was actually more Chloe than even Emily. But obviously Savannah didn't know that. Courtney didn't know that. But it seems like he's really honed in on the Emily thing. I don't know if like he's had more conversations with Tara Leisha. Now he feels a little bit better about her or what. But given the conversation that we saw between him and Emily, he should feel like Emily is pretty pacified. From our perspective, he's had no further conversations with Tara Leisha. It feels like he should be targeting Tara Leisha. And maybe he is. And maybe we're being misled to think that there's a chance that Tara Leisha might stay here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I really keep going back to the conversation with Savannah because I really felt, I mean, obviously, like Savannah and Courtney just like loved each other and Courtney was really invested in that conversation. So for me, I really feel like, you know, that was when he clicked into game mode and he said, I'm like, okay, I'm locked in here. And we've seen Courtney really locked in and thriving since then, in part because of the Joker powers, but that's a small detail. You know, it's been interesting to see that shift. And I think that we'll see. Maybe Tara Leisha is going to go, but
Right.
I don't think either is a bad move.
Yeah. So we're going to get one more chat before the results and the influencer chat, and that is between Terlisha and Kat. She wants to know, what did the Joker tell you? I got to know. And Kat says, I was told that you don't tell the truth and that Chloe can't be trusted. And Terlisha, now I said in the previous episode, this seems like it's obviously not Emily. Like, obviously this is being set up to frame Emily from the fake overly quote unquote girly texting to the fact that it's blaming these other two and not mentioning Emily. Terlisha, though, falls for this hook, line, and sinker here. Immediately, it's Emily. I know it's Emily. She tells Kat as much. She says, I think this is Emily.
Yeah, this is one. I think this is the one place where we've just seen a bad read from Terlisha, because everything's been so solid to this point. And I don't know if it's just that immediate emotion of like, I'm in this conversation. Someone tells me some Joker said, and now I'm reacting to it. I don't know. Maybe Terlisha didn't care that much for Emily at that point anyway. And again, I think a lot of people have had that kind of like sus Emily vibes. Even if they're going to work with Emily, Emily was pretty one-dimensional. Jack's great, but Emily was pretty one-dimensional. And I think that was kind of, people were like kind of looking at it like, huh, what's going on there?
Yeah, somehow Emily went from just two episodes ago blocking Savannah for Terlisha. Those are my girls. To Chloe's my bestie, and obviously Emily has turned on me. I don't know what she imagines the incentive is here for Emily to do something like that, but she really has bought into this idea.
Yeah, I also wonder if this is in part because of just missing information in some ways.
Missing a lot of information here. It makes no sense.
No, and it was such a simple comment, like, this is what I was told. And then immediately Terlisha's going to this point, like, oh, well, this is definitely Emily. And maybe, like, I don't know, but in my head, maybe Terlisha imagines that, you know, that Mitchell and Kat were told, I don't know, the gender of the person or something. I don't know, but it's very strange that that's kind of how Terlisha's mind is working. Part of it might just be trusting Kat too, and just saying she has no incentive to lie to me. So of course what she's saying is right, when it's not even ill will by Kat. It's just Kat, again, being misled by Courtney's plan, which worked. I mean, at least seems to work really well so far.
Yeah. So we get the rating results. Terlisha is last, followed by Lance, then Emily, then Trevor. Chloe in second. Courtney is the influencer. What a round here by Courtney to choose essentially who his partner in the influencer hangout will be. Courtney and River will be our influencers.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this going back to last episode. If, like, how big of an advantage these powers were for Courtney. And honestly, like, you know, if someone else could have been in that same position with that same power and not ended up being ranked number one. So I think that that's a place where I have to give Courtney a lot of credit. I also will say it, you know, getting ahead to the influencer chat a little bit, that Courtney shouldn't be saying anything about this to anyone. Don't tell anyone you're the Joker, please, Courtney. If past you is listening somehow before I watch episode 7, just like, please don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. You don't need to. You're fine. But I was so well played. And then it all just came together pretty nicely.
It did. Now, it is kind of a waste, because like, being able to choose one of the influencers is basically a gimme. As long as you have one solid ally in the game, you just choose that ally. You know, you're completely safe. You don't even need to be an influencer that round. It's great for you. By doubling up, he kind of is like using one of his influence, because you kind of have a finite amount of them before people start not putting you up there anymore. So in some ways, it's not the most efficient use of influencerness, but definitely an impressive sort of spike in power here for Courtney, which makes it all the more important that he uses this well and make sure that he actually hits one of the targets that he needs to hit here. And based again, based on what we've seen, it would feel like Terralicia is probably the right target, as Emily is not quite as directly threatening to Courtney as Terralicia would be.
Yeah, absolutely. But every, you know, a lot of people are kind of sketched out by whatever's going on with Emily, where they're like, I don't know what's again, they just don't have deep connection or aren't really sure if Emily's a real person. With Terralicia, I feel Terralicia is making the effort to build some of those relationships, or at least fake it. And maybe, you know, that to me looks like it's something. It looks like it's more than what Emily's doing, at least.
Well, I think for River and Courtney, they are in a proposed Final Four, or like four person alliance with Emily, right? So like there's reason to believe that even if she's not trustworthy, at least she's like should feel good with them and thus not super threatening. Whereas Courtney heard from Savannah that in the influencer chat, Terralicia was like, I want Courtney to go directly. And we know that was like, she just flat out sees him as a big threat in the game and wants him gone. Like that is the kind of person who like, she will never not think of Courtney as a threat in this game. If I'm Courtney, I want Terralicia out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think so, but maybe that's some of the work that Terralicia is doing. Again, back to their conversation. Like if Terralicia is going to tell you that you're good, even if you don't believe it, that might put her in a slightly better place. I'll also point out, going back to River's wall art, that in that little diagram of who River trusted most, Lance was also there. So yes. I could see a scenario where, you know, if Emily's gone, then Lance slots into that position. That's a good fourth for that alliance. But yeah, you don't really need to take out Emily. Emily's harmless.
I mean, she seems that way. So they start off with Chloe. They both immediately agree we're keeping Chloe. She's our girl. Again, just like, I don't know what, like, we're not seeing the conversations that Chloe is having with these others. I really feel like we're missing so much in this USC. It's my biggest complaint by far of the season, is that I feel like I am completely out of the loop in terms of what the relationships are with a lot of these people.
Yeah. And it almost seems like Chloe's relationships at this point are outpacing her conversations. Definitely. Like we're, as you pointed, we're not seeing it, but it really doesn't make any sense how Chloe's able to form all of these really, you know, meaningful or seemingly solid relationships. But, you know, you have some others like Lance who is kind of like it almost feels like the opposite with folks. And so I don't, you know, I'm happy for Chloe. She's growing on me, but it's I think we're going to end up probably seeing her in more bathtubs, talking to more people. Maybe that's her strategy. She hops in the tub and it's okay.
Puts her in the right mindset.
Yeah. Good hygiene.
Yeah. Courtney says that he would like to keep Lance around because he's harmless. Can't do much in the game. River actually echoes this idea. If we drag Lance to the end, then who's going to give Lance the money? And now I love that Lee is thinking this strategically. Although I think you have to worry in the circle that if you drag somebody that you don't think will win in the end to the end, that person might end up winning because everyone puts them first because they're burning their vote. So you do have to be careful of that.
Yeah, I wonder if you do bring, well, Lance or anyone to the end, you know, dragging that goat to the end, if you really need to surround that in conversations with other people you know will be there to be like, okay, we're definitely not going to rank this person really high, will we? You know, like there needs to be a lot of work to make sure that that doesn't backfire. But are you saying that we might see Lance winning the circle?
I think that it's theoretically possible in the game. I think that based on what we've seen of Lance so far, it seems unlikely to me. If we're reading into the edit at all, Lance has not had a big presence so far. I don't think Lance was even in this episode.
We did see Lance eating a popsicle or something like that. I don't know what that was
maybe
about.
Or maybe we just imagined it. Who knows?
That's valid.
Yeah,
might have happened.
Trevor says, or sorry, River says the Trevor is a possibility for him. But Courtney does not want Trevor to go. Courtney is going to push back and say, get out that shovel and start digging for, I was like, whoa, to get to know Trevor. That's what I was, to get to know Trevor, because yeah. I don't want him to go. Pretty please, can we not get rid of Trevor? And I got to say, I really liked how River handled this overall. It was a stark contrast from the Terralicia Savannah back and forth that they had, where Lee is very sort of like he takes control of the conversation. He's very firm, but still willing to be flexible. And so instead of like falling into the trap of, OK, I'll give you this one, he says, let's table it for now, because if he says no, he can never go back on that. So even though like, Courtney made a play with this sort of like jokey, like, please, can we not? He was like, let's just table it for now, which I thought was a solid play.
Yeah. And there was a firm opinion there. Like, hey, like Trevor, you know, when I've talked with Trevor, Trevor has never reached out to me to initiate the conversation. So we don't have much of a deep connection. I don't feel comfortable, but there's still flexibility there. So it's showing a point of view and a, like at least leaning a certain way. But again, like the flexibility, like you said, it's interesting how it's such a small, you know, these little details matter so much because there's, you know, in talking about it, you could say that Emily was doing something similar when I think that Emily just didn't have as much of a point of view on folks. It was kind of just kind of wishy-washy, and it's all in text. So it's amazing that there's a difference between, you know, something so subtle of being like, hey, I kind of like that person, I'm not sure, what do you think? Versus, you know, this person didn't reach out to me, I don't have a deep connection, but still being open to what that other person had in mind.
Yeah. So this is when Courtney reveals that Emily is his number one target. So that does imply that he will be pushing for Emily. River says that he would prefer to keep her, but he is a little suspicious of Emily at times. And they talk about Terralicia also being a possibility. This is when Courtney opens up and says that he learned that Terralicia tried to block him, so he does not feel safe with her there, which is extremely valid. And River says, thank you for giving me the 411. This has infected the circle.
Has it, or is this like a, you know, River's generation? Because
River wasn't the first one to say 411, right?
The first one was
Delisa, yeah.
Yeah.
So now there are two separate people who have said, thanks for the 411, give me the 411.
It's a thing, though. It's like it's the lingo. I think that's going to be the new hot TikTok thing. Everyone's going to be doing the 411 dances and asking for the 411. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Circle Podcast, where we give you the 411 on everything going on in the Circle House.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing the good old dances that they do. We're going to be doing the two step and the I'm not old enough for the 411. Gosh,
I think we need to like go like real world style, like like eight people in an apartment building. We'll give you the 411 on everything that happens.
It's the
real circle.
New concepts. Someone from Netflix is probably listening in right now, and next maybe we'll see that next season. Maybe that's the next circle.
Again,
look at this.
I'm full of ideas, guys. If you ever want to hire me,
brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Where they're going to go back and forth a little bit, and we are going to be left on a cliffhanger. Who do they block? Is it Emily or Terralicia? We don't know.
We don't. I know who I hope is not being blocked, and that's Tara Leisha. She's just so much fire. But are there really people who are pushing for Emily to stay over Tara Leisha?
In terms of in the game or outside of the game?
Oh, outside of the game.
I would imagine that. So I think that when it was Savannah versus Tara Leisha, there was Team Tara Leisha or Team Savannah. Obviously, if you were Team Tara Leisha, you're hoping that Tara Leisha is not blocked here. But if you were Team Savannah, you may be like, yeah, it's what she deserves. Or you may have jumped ship and been like, all right, I guess I'm Team Tara Leisha now. But I would imagine that those are the people that are probably like, yeah, get her out.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the fans on Facebook are really against Tara Leisha at this point in the comments. But, you know, I think that the things shuffled so much, or it feels like they've shuffled so much in, you know, the last couple of episodes, at least, that I just feel like Emily's frustrating. Again, it just as a character, I just want something different. Someone who's like more effective at catfishing and getting the point across there.
Well, who do you think? Because I've already kind of, I kind of think it's going to be Tara Leisha based on the fact that, we haven't really seen Tara Leisha interact with either Courtney or River in the last like four episodes. That tells me that she is the more likely person to be blocked at this point. We've seen so much more of Emily. There's this budding sort of like Mitchell romance that's happening. This four person alliance thing that's potentially being started. The only storyline Tara Leisha has in the show right now is that she is suspicious of Emily. And one of them is going to go. So that storyline's over to begin with. That's already over. So edit wise, I'm feeling like this is going to be Tara Leisha, and game wise, I also feel like it makes a little bit more sense for it to be Tara Leisha, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'll say I want Emily to go because I do not want to see this Mitchell Emily situation continue to develop. I'm just worried. I wouldn't say I am really like fascinated that whatever it is, like, you know, what Jack's putting out there for Emily is really getting through to Mitchell. So that's nice. But, you know, I think that Emily's going home here because going back an episode or two, but as the argument was happening between Savannah and Tara Leisha, and we were seeing that unfold in the chat, was really kind of just not actively egging on Tara Leisha and supporting, but in his room was just cheering on Tara Leisha, like, yeah, get her. She's strong. So I think that Lee has a stronger connection, or River has a stronger connection to Tara Leisha than they focused on in this episode. But that was something I picked up on before that we just haven't seen a ton of. And I do feel like there's a little bit of like sympathy. Like, I just wish Tara Leisha would calm down, stay calm. And I don't know if it's worth, for River to fight for Tara Leisha, but I could see that push happening a little bit. And with Emily, it's kind of just like, whatever, just hot and cold. We don't need her around.
All right. Well, we will find out in episode 7 of The Circle. I will be back tomorrow, if you're listening the day this is dropping, to recap episode 7 of The Circle and see what happens here, who gets blocked and where we go from there. That's what we got. Of course, Saturday we'll be live to recap the whole week of The Circle, including episode 8. So make sure you tune in for that as well. Matt, any final thoughts on this episode of The Circle?
I had fun. It was really fun. And I think it's easy to kind of get caught up in the strategy of things. With The Circle, we don't always get the most strategy, but we got a good bit of strategy. We got a little bit of fun, and I'm a fan. I'm happy to be on board and watching and talking about it with you this season, Taryn.
Well, it was great. Great for you to join me here. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you to the audience for hanging out with us here.
Thank you.
You can, of course, find some Big Brother coverage here on Rob is a Podcast as well. I'm live every morning to update you guys on what's happening in the on the feeds. And then after the episodes, I recap all of the episodes. And during the episodes, you can find me on Twitch watching them. So lots of stuff there. You can, again, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, playing some games, chatting, doing all kinds of things there. Matt, where can people find you?
So you can find me at Matt Scott GW. I'm also the host of the Wrestling Rehap Up with Mari Forth. And we are on a hiatus currently, but you can catch up on all of our episodes so far. We started back in January. We have playlists in the show notes if you want to just watch clips and listen to our voices if Taryn's not giving you enough content to catch up with and tune into. And yeah, we'll be back in the swing of things really soon in a couple months. But that you can find me at Matt Scott GW mainly on Twitter, and hit me up and we'll talk wrestling or the circle or just whatever you want to talk about. It's cool.
All right. Well, thank you guys again so much for joining me and Matt here today, and see you guys next time.